Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I've run SCP Online, Deadcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us for the talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And remember to use a Chrome browser. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, if you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is Franz Games, FranzGames. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there for this podcast is SFU on call, big surprise. And that's SFUONCALL. And if you need to reach, want to follow me, my personal account, that's Paul Franz. It's PaulFranz. Just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. And just to let you know, Catholic and all that, and tech head too. And also I follow the Orioles, so I'm kind of passionate about those. And last but not least, also have another account called Franz Games, FranzGames. And of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various feeds around that, like the Play Store. And of course, my own website. Moving onward and forward to the quick news from ADB. Steve Cole is busy working on Catalog number 53. That's 33% done, and Lord knows at some point he's going to be asking for my articles. I got to wait for some of those. I can start writing them up. I probably should do that. But also he's working on the art for the Gorn Master Starship book and various Shapeways items. Steve Patrick was busy working on SCP updates and also the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene was busy working on Shapeways, big surprise. She was managing the Facebook page and also making sure that the spam assault on the BBS keeps low. Oh, I forgot one other thing. That is, she also was busy proofreading the communique. Moving on forward to SCP Online tournaments, I apologize. I did not send out the invite for the RAT 49 tournament. I need to do that. Also, the Masters 2018 tournament still has not. It's run by Andrew Koch, kind of. I'm not sure if he's still doing that. It's kind of up for grabs at the moment. But anyway, we have. It's currently stuck. It hasn't seen any progress. Hopefully, we can get something going on that tournament. I might send out a general email on all that are involved to maybe kick their butt a little bit. When it comes to library progress, I'm sorry, but I have not gotten to the stuff that Frank has done. And he's actually was bugging me right before the podcast going, yo, hey, I got all these that I sent you. Please process them. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed and it's hard to do anything at that point. So I probably should put the processing those on my to-do list. But anyway, so we're still stuck at conversions of 2,460. And yet to be converted at 865, leaving a percent complete of only 74%. Hopefully we can, well, next week, hopefully we'll get up to 75%, maybe? Yeah. A little bit here, a little bit there, we'll get it all done. Okay, and with that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, you got me, you got Barry, and you've got Dave, and we're going to start this evening talking about something that we all enjoy doing, which is playing tournament ships. In this case, we're going to be talking about the Liren, and obviously, we're also talking about the other. There's some minor differences there, because, come on, when it comes to the LDR is a war cruiser versus the Liren being a regular CA, movement cost one versus movement cost of 2/3. So that makes a bit of a difference, especially when it comes to the amount of power available. And even though they both have approximately the same armament to a degree. Yeah, the Lyran has 8 phaser ones, and LDR has 6. But they both have two ESGs, and of course you have the phaser Gs on the LDR with the phaser 3s on the Lyran. So, you know, the big difference there is I think I forget whether it's 4 or 2 points of power difference, because I'm pretty sure the Lyran has 40 points of power and the LDR only has 38. It might be 36. I'd have to double check.
I thought we were talking about non-tournament. We are talking about tournament?
Yes, we're talking about tournament.
Oh, good, good, good.
I've been going through a series of tactics on tournament ships.
Oh, okay. I'm going on memory, and it's been years, but I'm going to think the LDR has 36 power. It was always power 4.
Mm-hmm. Oh, agreed.
But let's see, the tournament, the CA, the Lyran has 6 P3s or 4 P3s?
4 P3s.
4 P3s.
I thought...
versus the LDR has...
Yeah. I thought it was
4... Because the LDR has...
Yeah.
The LDR has the 2 GATs, which basically amounts to 8 P3s, although it doesn't take damage as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is the... That is one thing. You start losing stuff faster on the LDR. Turn modes are pretty bad for both of those ships, I think.
No, I don't think so. If I recall correctly, the LDR has a turn mode of B. Well, yeah, Lyran has a turn mode of C. Yeah, actually, I was wrong. There's only 2 phaser 3s. Those are 360s.
And the regular Lyran has, turn mode C, I think?
Yeah, regular Lyran has turn mode C, and, yeah, the LDR has turn mode of B.
Now, the disruptor arcs, I think the LDR has got...
Much better.
FAL, one's FAL. What's that?
Much better. an FAL, an FAR, and 2 FX.
Right, and the regular heavy is 4 FAs, or does it also have 5 firing disruptors?
Yeah, the big cat has all of just FAs. I'm pretty sure. Let me double check.
All 4 is FA.
Yep, there's just 4. Yeah. Just 4 dark.
And of course, the LDR sometimes is referred to as the kinetic fireball of death. On that first round, the first firing pass, it's fast, maneuverable, mm-hmm. And hits hard. But it's paper mache. And now, one of the interesting things is that it has, I think the LDR can launch 2 shuttles simultaneously.
Yeah, let me still, I've got the SSD right in front of me. I'm just taking a look, see if I can see which one that is. I don't see it mentioned at the moment. Yeah, it's 2 bays. Yep.
Yeah.
Which makes it really nice for suicide shuttles.
How about the big cat? How many bays, treadle bays, is that?
I'm pretty sure it has only 1, but let me just double check. No, the Lyran also has 2 shuttle bays.
Has 2 shuttle bays.
Yep. I did not realize that.
Now, the interesting part about that is that, of course, the ESGs kind of interact badly with their own shuttle.
Yeah, that's usually a bad thing to, and I'm sure the shuttle pilots do not appreciate it.
No, they wouldn't.
I'm sure.
Team, but
I'm not sure if you remember the story about the fighters not wanting to launch because of an incident where there was a Lyran commander who brought, you know, the Zings were coming in and they launched their fighters and they basically killed the whole fighter squadron by turning on the ESC. He's like, no. Oh, just to let you know, LDR has 34 points of power. 34. I've triple counted these. Like, it's got 24 warp. It's got 6 APRs and it's got 4 impulse. That's 34.
Ouch! 34 power.
Yeah,
I knew it was low.
Yeah, it's really low. It's not as low as we thought. It was worse.
Yeah, when you were saying 38, it was like, no, 38 would be nothing could touch it.
Agreed, but the LDR has, you know, has 40, which is good when it comes to those ESGs.
It needs it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Everything it has on its ship is a big power suck. You know, of course.
Sadly, I'm hearing about every other word. I don't know why. I think the cell zone coverage in this area sucks.
That's possible. Actually, you're sounding pretty good, though. I can hear a lot of your background noise.
Let me take you off the Bluetooth headset to see if that improves things.
Okay.
Is that any better?
Much better. Much better.
All right.
Do I sound any better?
All right. Well, I got one of these Bluetooth headsets, which came highly recommended, but usually it works pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually the best noise cancellation are the parrots. Of course, those are designed for trucking, you know, for driving down the road.
Right. But, those ESGs take a lot of juice.
Mm-hmm.
And the LDRs, they basically, they're a one-shot. The LDR basically has to come to a complete stop to recharge the ESGs.
Yeah, or...
Which for that ship is death.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the... Or you have to slowly charge them because, that's the great thing about some of the weapon systems that the Lyrans have. One...
Everything's capped.
Yeah, well, you have two capacitors. You got the ESG, which is a capacitor. You have the phaser, which are capacitors. And the disruptors, they're very flexible when it comes to energy usage. You can charge them, you can not charge them. You could put, if you want to, you can theory, you put one point of energy into it and then, you know, do basic contingency charging.
Right.
I've never seen anyone actually. Well, I've rarely seen anyone do that. The only time I've ever seen it is when you have the one point extra power that you're not sure what to do with. You don't have enough. You can't put that into batteries. You don't want to really put it into shielding because one point's not going to make that big of a difference, especially if you get it on the wrong shield. You know, and you put it towards that one disruptor that might survive or might not survive the initial volley or the next volley that's going to be coming to hit you. You know.
Yeah.
Of course, you just got to make sure your battery survive at that point.
Yeah. Well, if you're anticipating losing it, then maybe a shield point. You're probably going to know what shield is coming in at that point.
depends on the player.
Power and shield might save it.
Mm-hmm. Overall, I'm not really good at guessing what shield is going to get hit by my opponent.
Yeah. The other thing to keep in mind is that if you have better to charge one with two than two with one.
Oh, I agree there.
One. Yeah.
Now, that's why I was thinking about the situation where you have one last disruptor that you might lose in that volley. Or you're concerned about it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's one of those kind of out there things. Overall, you rarely would ever use it, but it's like using your tractors. You have to remember you have them. You have to remember you actually have the option.
Right.
That's the thing. That's one of the things that, you know, I bring up in these different tournament tactics discussions, and that is about reminding people of all of the tactics, all of the different things that you can do with this ship, some things that are viable, some things that are crazy, but in their certain situation it might just work, because I'm sure everyone has done that. You know, who's ever played a plasma ship has done this sooner or later, which is going in hot and heavy with tractor beams. You got nothing else charged except for your tractor beams and your plasmas, and you're just trying to get there really fast and tractor the guy before he gets away. You know, and then let loose. Because you're close.
The old anchor, the Gorn anchor.
Yep, old Gorn anchor.
Yeah.
And, you know, every once in a while, you're gonna do it. You're going to go for that. You know, it's not one of those tactics that you're going to do every single time you play a plasma ship. But it's something to remember that it's a possibility. It is out there. You know, you do it every once in a while to the very least keep your opponent honest, and if they know you, it's even better because you can surprise them.
Yeah. Well, the LDR has the ability to threaten the Gorn anchor with, I guess there's not enough time to really do it, but first of all, the Gorn's going to take two ESGs on the way in, the Gats on the way in, everything else. The question is, can you break that anchor? If you can hold the range to two, and let's say you don't have the power to, you don't allocate the power to break the anchor, can you do enough to stop, to take out that second tractor?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't, well, it's game over.
Right. Understood. But, you know, okay, getting back to Liren tactics, usually what's the first thing you do on a Liren? You make sure that the ESGs are topped off.
Right.
That's the first thing you usually do for the first turn. You top them off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Lyran's going to have a little bit of trouble, especially the LDR, with plasma ships, in the sense that plasma ships, the Lyran really works best at close range.
Oh, agreed. But come on, Gary Barry. When it comes to plasma, fighting plasma with in any ship, It doesn't matter. You're going to be doing the whole, you're going to do either one or two tactics, basically, which is run like heck,
yeah,
and run out the plasma and try to get the timing right, mm-hmm, so that you can have your plasma opponent with the least amount of plasma before you come in and come out after him, or you wild weasel. You wait for enough of the plasma to build up, and then you wild weasel.
Right.
Or, you come, there's, depending upon the situation, obviously you can come running in towards the plasma fire if it's close enough. Now, this is a rare situation because a plasma opponent is not going to want to get close to. After it launches its plasma, he's going to be running away. Or at the very least, be far behind that plasma. He's not going to be normally, he's not going to be close in behind it. So, you know, the whole idea of approaching your enemy ship, fire, ED, wild weasel, and then have your plasma hit the wild weasels. You know, that's a rare situation where you can do that.
Right. Well, yeah, if you ED against a plasma ship, then he just basically, as long as he didn't launch all the plasma, he can come back around and keep you at low speed and have time to recharge the plasma before you can get up to speed and you're down a shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
And very often, if the plasma player plays it right, if you've got an opponent who's using weasels, he might be able to get two of them to come out.
Yeah. Well, if you're going, the Laren, like any other ship, when it comes to plasma, is you've got to decide what is going to be your strategy, in my mind.
Yeah.
Because for me, there's two tactics I have in mind. One, I'm just going to run out the plasma. I don't even charge wild weasels. I'm going to run, and that's going to be it.
Well, that's a safer tactic, yeah.
Yeah, but also it requires a little more timing. In my mind.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let me ask the question: what would Paul Scott do?
Unfortunately, I do not know the mind of Paul Scott. Because if I knew the mind of Paul Scott, I'd probably be a heck of a lot better player.
Did you ever read any of his term papers?
Probably, but it's been quite a few years by now.
Well, basically, he plays a very conservative game and just basically tries not to make mistakes. He figures that eventually his opponent's going to make mistakes, and then he takes advantage of E20. He doesn't take much advantage of it, but every little bit helps.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of making less mistakes than your opponent.
Understood.
Yeah. And basically delay.
Yeah, but he's
not the most aggressive person.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the most aggressive player in the world.
No.
But he does keep the pressure up.
Mm-hmm.
And he allows you to make the mistake. Then capitalizes on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the hard part about always running is that if you're going to be always running, that means one of two things you're going to have to give up. You have to give up either charging your weapons so you can keep up the speed, and I mm-hmm. never fire at your opponent and just waiting for him to final and, you know, You're going to get hit no matter how much you run. You're going to get hit. You're fighting in a fishbowl. In the fishbowl, you only got so much room, especially if your opponent takes the center of the board and you're running around the edge. Because I know this, I've done this. Where you're running around the edge of the board, your speed has to be kept up so much faster than your opponent. Your opponent can be kept at a nice speed of maybe 15, 20. You got to keep up a speed of like 30 to keep running around the edge of the bowl. And even with that, even with that, the plasma can get ahead of you because the plasma can be a heck of a lot faster than you can. So sooner or later, you're going to get hit, if not for a lot, for a little at least. And since plasma can always be recharged, unless you're actually firing at your opponent's ship, he can wear you down. Obviously, the tough part for the plasma player is making sure that you have enough, the timing of when you launch the plasmas.
Right. Well, the other thing is that the LBR in particular can run away and still fire an overload disruptor.
Right.
Agreed. That's something most ships can't do.
Oh, agreed, agreed. And Lord knows, with some of the crazy Andromedan suggestions, you know, for, you know, where to put the TRs, and it's like, oh, they should have one in the left-hand side, one on the right-hand side, and one in the front. And then going, and I got people to scream, like, no, we don't want to have it so you can run away and still be firing at us.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the same thing. Yeah. You know? But, you know, again, it costs you 2 points of power, or four, at least four. If you want to overload, that's going to cost you 8. That's a lot of power. For that LDR, that's a lot of power.
Right. I'm just saying that use one side disruptor. And it's just only one overload. And not much, but a little plink here, a little plink there, and eventually it adds up.
Mm-hmm. Assuming you hit.
Assuming you hit. Yep.
And that's why, well, obviously the big boy, the big Glaren, he has some advantages because of, obviously, he's got more internals. He's got more power.
Yes.
And in addition to that, he also has the one-time UIM.
Right.
Which is...
That's nice.
Oh, it's very nice, especially on those times when you want not quite, well, you can't have a guaranteed kill, can't have a guaranteed hit, but it can be a much better chance to hit.
Yeah, especially if you use it at range 8.
Yep. Or I'm just looking at also right, all the way up to range 3. Range 3 without UIM is 1 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have a UIM, it's 1 to 5.
Right. And at range 3, the ESGs are in range.
Yes, they are.
Mm.
And, of course, it's the ESGs are kind of like the Saltorian shield crackers. Now, I haven't even talked about the Saltorian tactics yet. We'll get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Not tonight, but we'll get to them at some point in the future. But
what was last week's topic?
Last week's topic was the Orion. And also,
you didn't start with the easy one, did you?
No, that one was a tougher one because of the Orion. The weapons. The one of the things I covered a lot of times was the packages. What kind of packages do you choose? Because that's a big thing with the Orion.
Yes.
You know, that will define how you fly the ship. And I also, you know, I brought out some of the crazier things that you can do in the Orion. Some things that I've never, ever, ever seen anyone do. You know, like the whole idea of having a pure drone Orion. All five option mounts.
Interesting.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I don't think anyone's ever done it. Now, we've got the phaser boat. That's been done multiple times.
Well, the drone package actually has some interesting promise.
Yeah, especially because it gets oak disc.
You can anchor.
Yep.
Like nobody's business.
Agreed. As I said.
But it only has one shuttle bay, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. True. But if you got them locked in a tractor beam, you know, it will matter because obviously they can change their shield facing, and that's why you want the double bays, so that when you launch the suicide shuttles, like what the Lyran can do, it can hit the same shield. So instead of having only 18 points of damage against one shield, you can do 36.
Right. Or you could do four drones in a GAT.
Well, that's when it comes to the Orion, the phaser boat, that's what it is. Four drones in a GAT, not four phaser ones in a GAT. Yeah. Which is, again, an interesting one. I've not seen anyone try it. You know? Someone have to be a real dedicated Orion to try some of the crazier options, in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, like fusion, and three plasma Fs.
Yeah,
because you can put fusions in the wings,
right?
And in that case, they're all hit on torps.
Yes. Interesting.
Oh yeah. Now I can't imagine ever trying to do a suicide overload with fusions on Orion, but hey,
you could get. Any pseudos with the X?
I don't think so. I think it's like, yeah, I'm positive. Actually, that's a good question. There. Just need to bring it up real quick. I see. Black Shark. Orion. Bum-bum. Okay, just mentioning those. But the wing mounts. Okay, I do not. Nope. I do not see any explicit thing that says that it gets pseudos, like, you know, like the King Eagle.
I know there is one, King Eagle gets
right
pseudos with its F.
Right, it says the ship does have all three pseudos plasma torpedoes, versus, you know, the normal Turner rules, which says, that it is okay. Yeah, plasma torpedoes with Raman's Gorn's I see do not receive pseudo. Plus torpedoes for Type F torpedo TKE does have it. Orion and Winds, who install Type F in option mounts, do receive pseudoplasma Orion's and Winds, who install Type F torpedoes in option mounts, do receive pseudo plasma torpedoes for them up to a maximum of two pseudo plasma torpedoes per ship.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Which mounts the pseudo plasma torpedoes are designated publicly as part of the original option mount selection and cannot be changed.
Oh, so you publicly announced it at the beginning which ones have the pseudos?
Yep. If you use three plasma torpedo plasma F torpedo tubes, the person gets to know which two actually have pseudos.
Right, and I guess for all with the FPs mounts.
What's that again?
For all, I guess the line takes three Fs. They're all FP mounts.
Yeah, let me just double check. I think that's correct. Da, 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 da. Da, da, da. Okay, as three is okay, five, three forward center line. Okay, yeah, it means FA or FP.
Yeah.
So it would be FP. Which is pretty good, you know. Basically.
And I think I've seen that someone fly that configuration, three Fs and two fusions.
Daniel, that one. See, the thing is, that one I can easily see because that's a, you know, coming in close. And since the plasmas themselves are zero energy holds,
right?
You can fly around without costing any additional energy. Now charging, if you launch them all at the same time, it's going to be 339, you know, to
right.
Reload them.
Yeah, which isn't bad at all.
Right.
What it means is on your off turns, you're not doubling, which isn't a bad idea. The Orion can get the extra power when it needs it.
Yeah, and you definitely would want to... That configuration, you want to be up and close anyway because of the plasma Fs die pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, 20 out to 5 and then 6.
What's faster to repair, a fusion or an F?
That's a good question because I don't have the cost of repair in front of me. And I don't know where I could find that.
I'm asking all the good questions, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. And of course, they're not related to the Lyran. But
their cost of an ESG is don't even bother.
Oh, that's 25 points.
Yeah.
Same
don't even bother.
Right, same cost as a Hellbore. You know, which of course brings us to that situation that sometimes occurs with the Lyran, which is you're fighting a Hydran. Because in that situation, it's a twofold system. In my mind, you can either, and this some of this really depends on how the Hydran's flying it. And that is, obviously, we have the whole Hellbore-ESG interaction, which is good and bad.
Yeah.
Good in, good in that it protects your shield.
Yeah.
Bad.
It's an extra shield.
The bad.
It's an automatic hit.
That's right.
And not only that, but if the ESG is not at range zero, it actually reduces the range for the Hellbore.
Yep. Now, here's the thing.
So, if I'm at range 4 from that Lyran and I fire Hellbores and the ESGs are at range 3, as far as I'm concerned, I'm range 1 from the Lyran, even though I'm range 4.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood. But, you know, again... The whole idea in that scenario is that you're trying to reduce the Hellbore anyway, so that even hits you, okay, who cares? You know, a lot of the damage is going to be taken up by your ESG. Depends upon, obviously, how many ESGs you got up at that moment in time. But, you know, it will reduce it greatly. Now, obviously, there's the other way of using ESGs, and that, all, as I said, all depends on how the hydrogen's flying. And how, obviously, part of that is going to be how you're going to fly it, too. Because another way you can use the ESGs and is to basically roll over the fighters.
Yeah.
Because you can get them up at range 3. Fighters normally don't want to fire outside of range 3 if they can avoid it, because they have used double charges.
I would put the ESGs at range 2, because the ESGs hit the fighters before the fighters have a chance to fire. And range 3, the fighters are very much degraded. They're using 2 fusion charges at range 3,
yeah.
And the gaps are very much reduced.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah. So range 2 is the optimal range, 2 or less. And if you have the ESGs hit the fighters before they have a chance to return fire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, and that's where your hellbores are good for taking down the ESGs to protect your fighters.
Right. But, of course, in that situation, if you've got your hellbores available, you know, in that case, the Lyran is going to probably use the ESGs for protecting the ship. Then you're not going to try to run down the fighters, because the Hydrant's going to use the hellbores to knock down the ESGs. But there's also, of course, the situation where if the Hydrant player is also keeping his fighters close to his ship, you know, he can actually put himself between, you know, the Lyran ship and the airship and the fighters. So, you know, that the ESG hits the ship, of course, the Lyran won't be too broken up about that.
Well, another possibility is if the Hydran is leading the fighters in to protect them, if you set up a range 2 ESG and you set it up so that you pass the Hydran ship and then the ESG goes live, you can take out the fighters. Especially if you track through the Lyran and have it push you away from the fighters. And push the ESGs right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that requires all sorts of timing.
Oh, agreed. That is the one thing that, you know, given the situation, you know, if you can do it, I say do it, because Lord knows those fighters can cause you a lot of headache and a lot of damage.
On the other hand, getting to range 2 of a Hydran is very often death. Because it does have the 2 GATs, it does have 4 fusions.
Exactly, and you know most probably, unless the Hydra can get up and close and personal, he's not going to use those fusion beams. He'll use his phasers to dent your shield, and hellbore to basically bore into that shield. But you, I think I lost Barry. But, you know, hellbore into that shield, and that, you know, so the Hydra's not going to be wanting to use those fusions, because the fusions have to cool down for a turn, and two, they have to take 2 points per fusion to actually charge. So, while, you know, you can run around the board with those fusions with only one point of power and to hold it. So, you know, you want to try to save that energy as much as possible because Lord knows for the Hydran, those Hellbores can be quite the energy suck. Not as bad as the ESGs because, you know, Lyran has the problem with having ESGs and disruptors. Of course, the ESGs, just like the fusion beams, have a 32 impulse cooldown period before they can be brought up again. So that using the ESGs for the Lyran is always an interesting situation. And that's because of the amount of power it requires to use them. As I pointed out earlier in the podcast, that what's the first turn you're going to be doing? What you're going to be doing on the first turn for the Lyran is you will be charging the ESG. Because if I recall correctly, the ESGs start with 3 points of energy in them. I'm wrong. They start with 5 points of energy in them. I was incorrect. I'm sorry. I thought they started with three. I was wrong. I apologize for that. But now, obviously, you have to when you release the energy, you know. The question: when do you use the ESGs? When you don't? Because what is most of your opponents going to be doing in the Lyran? The opponent is going to try to keep at greater than range 3, possibly range 5 if they can help it, because of obviously if you can get to range 4, you might be able to get out of the situation, but you have to be really, really careful. You're riding the razor's edge when you're going for range 4. And you got to know that you have the ability to duck out of range 4 to range 5, or at least be able to maintain the range 4 at that point and run away. Because if the Lyran is able if you're able to actually hit that person at range 3, boom. That's, if you have both ESGs up, that's 30 points of damage on that shield. That shield's gone. Let's be honest here. It is gone. In which case, then you can just whatever. If you fired most of your phasers, that's fine. You know, possibly get 2 phaser 3s left over. Fire them. You know, internals are internals. You take them if you can. There's a lot of situations that you don't want to do that. You know, that they have. If at that point they decide to come in closer to you, then you kind of have a problem. Though obviously if they get hit, they might decide that the best chance to actually win, depending upon what your weapon situation is with your Lyran, they might come in towards you, because if you are used up your weapons, they don't have anything to lose for the most part. But as pointed out earlier, keep that in mind, because Lord knows I've told the story many times of me being an Andromedan, and I got stupid. And I decided to, I'm going to go for the kill. I'm going to go for the kill because he's fired early. I'm still good. Because, you know, the wind, the guy flying the wind, Great Black Shark, he fired range 5, everything. And it's like, why are you doing this? And then he launches these shells. The shells. They're nothing. Rover random, boom. I died, basically. He got through my ESGs, knocked down some Eternals, and at that point, I was in deep trouble at that point. And that's the one thing that your opponents might also do in the Lyran. And that is, you fired your weapons. They say, they're going to head back towards you because they'll get a good shield at that point because they already have a down shield because you hit them with their ESG. And they might have not fired all their weapons. They might have, in which case, you know, they might run away anyway. But if they got enough weapons to maybe go in for a kill or go really damage you and fly past you, the one thing that you have to remember that when they do that, you have your suicide shuttles ready to launch out the front and have it so that your opponent, and even if you don't launch real suicide shuttles, pseudo suicide shuttles, because you can do those. There's zero energy to prepare. You just have to, if I recall correctly, you have to prepare them at the beginning of the turn, but they cost you no energy. Now, they kind of don't do any damage, but, or even better yet, just launching two normal admin shuttles, you know, controlled by pilots and all that kind of thing, making your opponent think they're suicides, but they're not. And you can, if your opponent's thinking, he will realize, oh crap, those are suicides or might be suicides, and then he'll adjust. He'll go, instead of try to overrun you and go for max damage, he might go around you and limit the damage to either range one or range two, depending upon, you know, obviously when the shuttles moves versus when your opponent moves. Because remember one thing about shuttles move last. When it comes to ships versus, you know, when it comes to order of things, the order of precedence, shuttles go pretty much last. Obviously, the ones that really go last are the seeking weapons, but I digress. So when the ESGs, that's one of the most hard thing to do, and especially as we pointed out earlier, when it comes to the LDR is the most difficult thing when it comes to ESGs. Most of the time you use the ESGs once, the LDR, and that's it. And I'm not saying because they get blown off the ship, because every once in a while they do, yes, but the problem is recharging, because as I mentioned after I actually looked it up, the LDR only has 34 points of power. That's not much. When you have a ship who loves to just suck the energy right out of it, because the ESGs have a really high when it comes to amount of power required to charge them. You know, max capacitor to 5 points apiece. Now, as I mentioned before, you don't have to put 5 points of energy into the ESG immediately. You can put one each turn, or maybe put two here. The whole idea is just to have something in there, because at the very least, when it comes to the ESGs, if you're flying against a drone opponent, having 2 points of power in the ESGs, assuming they're alive, is enough to reduce the drones, possibly to the point where you use your phasers, or depends upon how you want to do your ESGs. You might want to do ESGs at that point, range one, so that it hits the drones, and then you still have the opportunity to hit the remaining drones that still survive with phasers. Now, obviously, the biggest issue with ESGs when it comes to drones is you don't want to have a large group of them that all hit at the same time. And, of course, your opponent is going to know that. So what he's going to do, he's going to make sure his drones are stacked so that all damage has to be even over all the drones. So if, you know, you have, let's say, 10 points of energy in the ESGs that are up, you'd probably say one ESG that's up, because you didn't have enough energy for fully charged ESG. And you have five drones. All five drones hit that ESG. They all take 2 points of damage. So you still got five drones still staring you in the face, you know. And that's why the opponents will do that against you. So in the Laren, you got, that's one of those things you have to keep in mind. And that is the way that ESG works, which is the order of precedence of damage. Obviously, the things that all hit the battery at the same time take it evenly, though I have to look up when it comes to order of precedence, when it comes to ESGs, if there's a difference when it comes to size class. If like the drones get hit first, then the fighters / shuttles, then the ships. Or are all objects that enter that field at the same time all take damage evenly? I think they all take damage evenly. The only time there's a difference, if I recall correctly, is when you have a ship that doesn't just enter the field, or unit that don't just enter the field but goes through the field. At that point, that one's considered first. So I'd have to look up exactly how that particular situation goes, but definitely look it up. Now, obviously, given that both the LDR and the Laren, the big cat, both are basically direct fire weapons. They're all they have is direct fires. Obviously, ESG is not quite direct fire, but you get the idea. You've got phasers, you got disruptors, and you got the ESGs, which you can either run into your opponent or use as protection, either against L-bores or drones, or even suicide shuttles. Obviously, plasmas, not so much. As we pointed out, plasmas are kind of different character. Let's go over that one more time. Which is a Laren versus a plasma. Obviously, you're going to be using the ESG against your opponent's ship. So that means timing. You have to deal with timing greatly. Obviously, if you wanted to, there's one of those great things about the Laren. The Laren could actually go in and Laren could go in Wild Weasel the plasma, and then after reactivate the fire control, then you can bring up your ESGs and you actually have some additional protection instead of just sitting there, you know. So that's something to keep in mind. Of course, most probably, that definitely helps, because that means your opponent's not going to be overrunning you when it comes to that. Now, obviously, there's always difficulty if you have your opponent coming in with his plasma, bring up your ESG afterwards, you might have a problem, which might be what they plan on doing. Now, so with plasma, the ESGs are less useful. They're purely as a blunt instrument to destroy shuttles, and if you might be doing that, you might not. Or ramming your opponent's ship. Those are the two things. So always keep that in mind. Now, obviously, the one thing, as I pointed out before, a great thing about disruptors is that they're so flexible. Keep that in mind. That flexibility, so that allows you to, especially when it comes to plasma, it gives you really great flexibility, because you're probably going to be doing a lot of running when it comes to plasma ships. That is running away from plasma. And you're setting your timing. And because of ESGs don't cost you any energy whatsoever to hold, you're good. If I recall correctly, they will dissipate after 25 turns. I think that's correct. I think there's some rules about things like phasers and held plasma Fs. You know, the whole idea is that they're not held forever in that, you know. But anyhow, so that gives you plenty of flexibility when it comes to running and know when you can actually be able to attack. Again, it comes down to timing. Now, facing drones, of course, what are you going to do? You have two options, again, and you always have this option, which is using it as a blunt instrument. An instrument where you're just ramming the other guy's ship. And of course, when it comes to drones, he might be using his drones just to soak up the damage. Now, there's always the opposite approach, which is using it as purely a protective measure against the drones. It's difficult, as I pointed out before. You're probably going to want to have it at range like one or two, possibly. Obviously, there's always a difficult situation where you both move the same impulse when you go from two to zero. That's what the drone chucker is going to want, because there's a possibility that when it goes from two to zero, the collection of drones will fly right through the ESGs. And if they fly right through the ESGs, they might all survive. If they all survive, they're going to hit your ship, and you're going to die. There's a good possibility that you will die. Hey, Barry, you're back.
Hey there. Yeah, well, I saw an opportunity I could not turn down. Guy sat down nearby wearing a SpaceX hat.
Ah, okay.
And he was an employee. How could I not talk to him?
Oh, I understood. Being the,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Being the tech guy you are, you know.
I've been following that company since, 2008?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is fine.
That's like putting a raw steak in front of a dog and expecting it to ignore it.
Oh, agreed. Agreed.
Yeah. So I've got, over an hour till flight leaves.
Understood.
So.
Yeah. Moving back to Lyrans. So I covered the drone chuckers and the plasma chuckers, and of course we've already covered the hydrants and that particular situation.
Oh, I just dropped my brain cast somewhere. Crap.
Shall I let you go and go look for that boarding pass?
What's that?
Shall I let you go and try to find that boarding pass?
Wait. No, I got it.
Okay.
Got it. I just had it in a different pocket.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear. Yes, obviously, the LDR versus the Fed, good luck.
The what?
Fed tournament cruiser versus the LDR.
Okay.
I don't think the LDR has much of a chance. Because if those photons penetrate your shield, you're in trouble because it doesn't have that many boxes left.
Correct.
It's not
correct.
Not like a Zinnia. The Zinnia, you hit it, it's got, I think, around 120 internals. It can it can survive a direct hit and keep coming.
Well, let's see. At range 2, photons have a hit number of 1 through 5, which is you're running into the possibility of all four hitting.
Yeah, but let's say the average is 3. So that's 48 points of damage.
Okay. Fuck the phasers.
Right.
And typically, the LDR is maneuverable enough, it might only be an arc of 6 D1s.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay. Plus the 2 P3s. And that range. But keep in mind that the LDR still has probably 2 shuttles. And range 2, what can the LDR does? It's going to fire simultaneously at range 2.
Yep. Because if it waits till later, it's not going to have much of a ship left.
Correct. So 4 disruptors, 2 gats, 6. What are the firing arcs on the. Is it 2 FA, 2 FAL, and 2 FAR? I'm going by memory.
And when it comes to the phaser ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it right.
Okay. So basically, 6 P1s. You probably want to set the ESGs to range 2. So they'll do 17 each. So 34. The LDR is going to do a lot more damage. But it can take a lot less.
Right. Well, you're assuming one great thing. That is, if you have an ESG...
If what?
That if you have an ESG up at range 2, that the Fed's going to come into range 2. As a Fed,
if the Fed doesn't come into range.
As a Fed, if you got an ESG up at range 2, I'm not going to go running through it.
Right.
You know, I'm either going to
but that
fire at a farther range to eliminate the possibility of being hit by the ESG. That's one. Or wait, because the ESGs have to come down.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you bring up the ESGs and the Fed turns away, you can cancel that. Or just cancel one of them.
Agreed, but you're gonna cancel it most probably before it comes up, so you have the opportunity to bring it back up quicker, and not waste the energy.
Well, the problem is that if you time it right, by the time the Fed turns away, if it turns away in time that it's not going to take the ESGs, it means that. The Lyran, maybe it's got a range 5 shot on a off shield, and then it'll try to duck behind the Fed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
So the fact that he turned away means that the Lyran gets a unreturned shot. And then tries his best to run behind the Fed and run away.
Which means
That,
which means
at that point it's game over.
Well, at that not quite, because at that point with the Fed in that case, if they thinks it through, is not going to just sit there and not fire and just run away. You know, it might do the first option, which is fire at a farther range and then run away.
Well, if the Fed fires at range, there's a good chance that a lot of the photons are going to miss.
Yeah, more photons will miss. Agreed.
Yeah. And if enough of them miss, then the Lyran can come in and finish the job.
Yep. Well, the Fed just has to, okay, the Fed just gets into range four. Range four is 1-4 to hit.
Yeah.
That's 2/3.
Right. Count on two of the photons hitting.
Yeah. So two of them will definitely, will most probably hit. Possibly three if you're lucky.
Yeah. Right. But so you count on two.
If you count on two, that's going to be, what? 32 points of damage at range four. That's from the photons.
But here's the thing. If you get to range four and the Lyran is in your FAR, so you can fire the photon torpedoes, you probably won't get a chance to turn away in time to avoid range three.
Yeah, but you're assuming that the ESG is going to be up on range two.
Well, or even you're going to have a hard time avoiding even range two. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I know what you're saying. There's the obvious.
Now you've got a good chance of knocking one of the ESGs off before it hits.
Right. Because the average damage when it comes to those six phaser ones is 4 points per. That's
correct.
That's 24 points of damage plus 24 plus 32. That's going to be your 56 points of damage against the LDR.
Yeah, and that's enough to knock out an ESG.
Enough to knock down ESG, knock down a bit of power. You know, but of course, with the LDR, the power is at a premium. You know, it doesn't want.
I understand that. But on the other hand, the LDR is probably going to get a chance to fire it simultaneously at range four with four disruptors and six P1s. And then, yes, if the Fed does fire, if it doesn't fire, then range two is a guarantee. And now the LDR still has the gaps and the ESGs. And there's a good chance they'll come on the same shield.
My dear friend, it sounds like you're metagaming. I.e., oh, I'm calling for fire of range four, and oh, the Lyran's going to then fire.
Well, let's say you fire at range four is the Lyran. You fire the disruptors and the phasers.
Right, in which case.
And if the Fed fires two, they can damage the LDR, but then the Fed better get out of Dodge City. Because those ESGs and GATs are coming for it.
Mm-hmm. And but also remember, at that point,
if the Fed doesn't fire, then it gets a better shot. But there's a good chance that both ESGs will be alive to hit.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So the Lyran will get to double tap the Fed.
But at the same
the Fed, and And there's a possibility that, the Lyman could knock one of the photons off before it gets to fire, which is huge.
Oh yeah, if the LDR fires at range 4, and if the Fed waits to come in closer to get a better shot, yeah, there's that possibility.
There'll be less of the Fed. There'll be less of the Fed to get that better shot.
Right, but if the Fed fires at range 4 with the LDR, then Nancy's going to hit the one shield. What's going to be the next thing that's going to happen? The Fed's going to turn away. Fed turns away, the ESGs that are up, a possibility of being up, are going to hit a different shield.
Yes, but, okay, range 2, different shield for both the LDR and the Fed. But, and it's one ESG and two GATs at range 2. That's enough to take down the second shield and do, what, 10, 15 internals?
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, that will most likely be a rear shield.
Agreed. I agree there.
And then that I think, covers the balance.
Hmm. Yeah, then obviously the important thing is that the LDR has to get to range 2. Because if he only gets to range 3, it's not going to do much.
But here's the other thing. Is now the Fed's turned away, the LDR is on his tail, and the LDR is armed with one-turn arming weapons, other than the ESGs, which there's only one left. And he's not going to be even bothering with them. So he's got basically the disruptors and the phasers, and the GATs are really efficient. That's, and he's facing a weakened, or he's facing the Fed from the wrong direction from the Fed. I think the LDR has a good chance.
That was something we'd have to play out because of I've flown the LDR against the Fed. I keep losing. No.
Okay. Now, having said that, if a Fed can get to range 2 of an LDR with no internals and fire an alpha, it is most likely game over for the LDR.
Oh, I agree there.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, agreed. The only way that could possibly occur is if they caught the LDR unawares that he was coming in, and I have a hard time believing that. When, unawares, i.e. doesn't have the ESGs up.
Right.
Now, in theory, you know, when it comes to range 3 hitting it, is there that possibility of doing that? Which is having it so that you take a range 3 ESG on one shield, but direct fire is on a different shield. I forget if that's actually a possibility or not.
Well, the problem with raising the ESGs at range 3 versus range 2 is that it gives the Fed more wiggle room to take the ESGs on one shield and everything else on another.
Right. That's what I was wondering.
With range 2, it's a little harder to get to pull that off.
Agreed. I think it's impossible with range 2.
Yeah, the extra 2 points of damage at range 2 is not too meaningful. Doesn't make much difference.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I mean, it is maybe, but it's only 2 points.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I personally think that the big cat, you know, has a better chance against the Fed. That's because of the number of internals it got.
Yes, the big cat does have a good chance. Better chance. Well, what did I start this conversation with? In the non-tournament game, the Tiger versus the Fed heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger should win every time. Of course, they're not. I think the Tiger in the standard game has 38 power.
Yep. And the tournament's
got 34 for.
And in the tournament,
34 for standard Fed.
Right.
How much power does a Fed heavy have? 38 in tournament.
38 in tournament, and Liren has 40 in tournament.
That's 40 tournament, yeah. Yeah, the big cat's tough customer.
Agreed. And those ESGs are definitely something, nothing to sneeze at. You know, they can be quite dangerous. Obviously, the difficult part is deploying them and knowing when the whole canceling thing, you know, that tactic of announcing that you're going to bring up the ESGs and then, okay, your opponent decides to run away because he doesn't want to face these ESGs and you cancel.
Yeah. I actually have to get off the phone because my data plan doesn't work when I'm on the phone. And the game I'm at is now saying that at about the time that my flight leaves, this one's leaving for El Paso. So I think they changed my flight's gate. I need to find out what gate it's been moved to.
Okay. Well, you have a good night.
You too.
Yeah. Bye. So, yeah. So the Liren is obviously the biggest issue with the big cat versus the LDR, the Liren versus the LDR is, well, LDR has less power but is more maneuverable. So it requires less power to actually move it. But that to me, that's not always a good thing when you have power hungry weapon systems like the ESGs. But of course, then you have the big cat. That's ESGs. Yeah, okay. They're power hungry, but you have a larger ship. You got more internals. So if there is that mistake that you do, or if your opponent gets lucky with those die rolls, you still have more of a ship versus the LDR. And as I said, you know, I've try to fight with the LDR, and I've not done well. Have I flown with the Liren? I think I might have flown once, but I can't remember off the top of my head. You know, how many times I've actually played the Liren? I think most of the time I avoid it. I usually stick to ships like the Saltorian, the King Eagle, the Wind Block Shark. I like flying that. Every once in a while, I fly the Wind Tournament Auxiliary Battle Cruiser. I've flown also the Zinni because obviously I kind of like the Zinni when it comes to the amount it can take quite a bit of damage. Because the number of internals on it, and it could actually face a Fed fully overloaded photon spread and survive and still win. To me, that's darn impressive. So, I think we'll wrap it up for this evening. Obviously, we had a nice discussion about the Liren, the LDR, and got sidetracked by discussing plasma ships and flying those, and of course, the Orions, which is always an interesting topic, and somebody tells me we will probably come back to the Orions at some other point because of as I said with the Orion discussion last week, it's always better to have someone to talk to about that, have someone bounce off when it comes to packages, because of there's only so many packages I can think of that I think are viable and I'd want to play versus some other one, because some of these packages are just can be nuts, you know, when it comes to the Orion. And of course, that's one of the reasons why people like playing the Orions, is because they get the twiddle of the dials when it comes to, okay, I'm going to customize this. It's one of the ships that you can customize the most of all of the tournament ships. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.